Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers,
785-833.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
This is the Bobby Bones
Show. Let's go.
Welcome to Tuesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, here we go. A little something from each of your lives. Eddie, good morning to you. What's going on with you?
Good morning. So, Bones, you're really big on the whole don't snooze, just get up, right?
Well, because you're going to have to get up anyway. And why not set your alarm to the absolute latest point where you can actually get good, pure sleep the whole time? I think you're actually robbing yourself of good sleep by tricking your mind into going, I'm getting extra sleep, which you're not. So just sleep to the absolute latest point and then get your butt out of bed.
That's your case. And I've
tried it. It's not my case.
That is your case. And I've tried it. And it just doesn't work. I do like hitting snooze. But now my wife is on your side of the story.
Probably because you have to wake up early and it wakes her up.
Yep. I do. And since the new year came around, I'm like, hey, I'm going to try to wake up an hour and a half before I normally do. Just so I can like warm up the voice.
But why would you do all that? You don't
mind.
Have an hour and a half.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I want to like, you know, maybe go walk outside for a little bit.
I like it in theory, but go ahead.
But what I'm doing is setting the alarm clock an hour and a half before I normally do. Hit snooze for about an hour and a half. She's hating life right now. And now she's like, just stop it. I'm going to sleep in another bedroom if you keep hitting snooze.
Just think about it like this. Do you want the most best sleep you can possibly get?
I do.
So instead of snoozing an extra 15, 20 minutes, because there's a point to where you just have to wake up. You can't.
There is the absolute minute right. Where I'm like, I have to get up at this
so
time.
So let's just say it's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You have to get up by 4 a.m. Why would you set your alarm to 3:30 and then have 30 minutes of bad sleep, snoozing up and on, up and on? Because all you're doing is convincing the less intelligent part of you that that's extra. It's not.
Yeah, there is another person at 3 in the morning. It's not me. And they make that decision.
No, it is. This is where...
It's not me. That person...
You will feel better if you set your alarm to the absolute latest point and then just get up because you're getting the most best sleep.
Okay, I'm going to try it.
Try it.
I am.
Amy used to snooze. She hasn't snoozed in years.
Not I snooze
once,
all the time.
Amy.
Actually, listening to y'all talk about this, Bobby, you know how sometimes you describe taking a sip of Coke...
And it's like, and just, yeah.
Like right now, I'm picturing being able to snooze just once, and I'm like, I know it's amazing. Like it would be awesome, but yeah. I'm telling you, it's better on this side. And now I haven't been snoozing for a couple few years now, and it's great.
The only time the snooze works is if you get to snooze past your absolute latest point, because that's a little bit of extra,
and that's not possible.
Otherwise, that's not a real snooze.
Right. Gotcha.
That's just you waking yourself up earlier than you have to.
Yeah,
you just got to do it.
You just got to do it.
Okay, man.
Thank you, Eddie. All right, over to Lunchbox. Lunchbox.
Okay, artists, when they get a number one song, they have these number one parties where we always get invited, and they're always the same lame thing. Come have a drink and pizza or drinks and burgers. Jelly Roll, who sings Son of a Sinner.
I wouldn't have got it from his version of it.
No. What?
It sounded like what?
Nothing I've ever heard. Yeah, no. Your melody was... Go ahead.
So anyway, he sent out an invite to his number one party, and you can get tattoos at the number one party.
Wow.
It says tattoos by Colby Hunter. So Colby Hunter is going to be there giving away tattoos at the number one party.
Anything you want?
I guess.
Is this something that you're interested in doing?
I was just like, that is the absolute coolest thing. So I thought, who wants to get a tattoo with Jelly Roll?
Well, so never trust Lunchbox or depend on him, because this already happened like a week ago.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
You Dumbo.
All that happened.
It's already happened,
but,
yeah.
Yes, but that was like last week.
Oh, I missed it then.
Yeah, you didn't miss it.
I just saw my email.
And also, you don't have any tattoos, and nor do you want a tattoo. So
I know, how cool.
But you do like free burgers, so I don't understand why that one's bad and this one's cool.
I just thought that was cool because they're all the same over and over again, but this one actually had something different that's like, man, I'd go just to watch people get tattoos.
You want to watch people
what?
Get tattoos?
That's so boring.
Is that your thing?
That's weird.
I mean, just randomly getting a tattoo at a number one party, like, oh, you know, I'm here, might as well get one.
It's different, yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different, but a couple things you said were weird. Yeah. We're also different. Okay. Amy, over to you.
So I was on Facebook Marketplace, and I saw a mausoleum for sale.
It's like where you put dead bodies, basically.
Oh, wow.
What?
The big ones. This one in particular is a walk-in one that holds six people. It includes caskets. I think it can actually fit more than six. That's just like when you walk in.
Yeah, you want
it
space.
Says something like it comes with 16 casketed in-ground burials.
That's weird.
And it's right here in town. So I was thinking we could all, the Bobby Bone Show could buy this and we all fit in there.
But why would, I don't want to first bury with you guys.
Yeah, stop that.
I've barely been able to do this for 20 years.
And whoever buys that, I need to look at their search history on their computer.
How much?
It also comes with two benches.
I mean, if you really want one, I get it. You want to put it...
Who wants one?
Well,
families.
Yeah, and if you want to put it at a literal graveyard, like you take it, because they have to buy it. You have to buy those anyway, and they get brought in. So maybe they're buying one to put there in a cemetery. Yeah.
Well, I think someone must have inherited this maybe. Someone else in the family bought this, and I guess they don't want it for whatever reason, and now they're selling it on Facebook Marketplace for $245,000.
I thought she said $245.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
Wow, that's a house.
Because it's a lot of, you know how much it is to bury people? It's a lot. Or cremate, even.
Sounds like they have in a nice place. Wow. That if you do come alive, you're like, well, at least I have shelter.
I'm in a nice home.
Okay, I'll go. It's a select group of folks have been saying, hey, why do I keep fat shaming my bulldog? First of all, animals don't know what shame is.
Mm-hmm.
He also doesn't listen to the show. He also doesn't know what this show ate.
He doesn't know anything.
There's no sense of ethics within an animal. By the way, ethics, really bad idea in general, because without ethics, there would be no bad. Because ethics were made to show what was bad versus what was good. But if you didn't know what bad was, there would be... Anyway, that's the whole thing. Animals don't have any ethics at all. My point is, I'm not fat shaming a dog. He doesn't know what shame is. And it's funny, and he is a fat bulldog. And so I list out all these funny names about him. For example, the new one I came up with is Fatsy Klein.
Oh.
Yes, I like that one.
So I was having a talk with him yesterday. Listen, Garth Brooks.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was kind of dirty.
And he didn't know what I was talking about, so I feel good. It's a funny bit. I'm not fat shaming anybody. It's a fat bull. He is a fat bulldog. That's it. And he doesn't care. So there's a lot of stuff I say that people say is controversial. This is not it. This is not it. So that's all. I'm not even addressing. I'm not humoring this anymore.
This is the one that gets you canceled? Fat shaming your own dog.
Can you imagine? On TMZ. He called him Fatsy Klein. America erupted. That's
Matthew
it.
McConaughey.
That's all. Yes. Said he went to the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
They protest me because I say he's from the Church of Fatter-day Saints. Okay, that's all. Glad you guys are here.
Time for the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I'm in eighth grade. I would like your advice because I am the captain of the Quiz Bowl team at my school. We're going to state this weekend. I'm a girl captain on a team of mostly boys. I would love some advice on how to be successful. Our school hasn't won at state in a long time, and I would love to inspire more girls to do Quiz Bowl by winning. What advice do you have on being a good leader? Thanks. Signed, Questioning Quiz Bowl. Well, if you want to win this thing, I have some advice for you. First of all, and this is advice for any high-pressure situation, because you're going to be nervous. You get nervous when things are worthy. Now, it could be worthy happy, it could be worthy sad. And when I was a mentor all 4 years on American Idol, that was a question people would ask me most. They go, how do I not be nervous? I'm like, no. You have to look at nervousness as a gift because it's rare in life that you get to be nervous about something awesome. A lot of times we're nervous. It's nervous about, oh no, doctor results. Oh no, job. Oh no,
how are we going to get through the bills this month? Like, that's nervousness that you have, and it sucks. But you figure out a way to get through it. If you have nervousness for something that is good, you have to look at that as a gift that's being delivered to you and appreciate it as much. And don't treat it the same way as bad nerves. So it's like, all right, I'm going to be nervous for sure. But when they get here, golly, how lucky am I that I get to be nervous for something good? That's the first thing you have to do. So you should probably be nervous. Number two, if you can keep your heart rate down a bit, because that's what a lot of nerves do, is they elevate the heart rate. Think about when you're your best, or you're funniest, or you're smartest, you run the fastest. It's when you're normal and there's no pressure on you. It's when you're just hanging out. It's when you're the funniest. And so you're just trying to get as close to that as possible. When the heart rate gets up, you're like, oh God, you tighten up. Choking is when you perform lesser because the pressure is on. Choking is not performing bad if you just always perform bad and a high pressure. That should be a normal. But choking is you actually are way worse when the pressure's on. But that's because your body takes over with all the heart rate, all the, oh my God, all the bad thoughts. I would visualize good things happening. And some of that visualization stuff is hooey. I'll be honest with you. But if you're going to have to visualize something, you might as well visualize something good. That's how I see it. It's almost like superstition. I don't believe in superstitions, but just in case I don't want to mess with it in case. So I visualize good things. And I don't think me visualizing good things, though, is going to make it happen. But I do think there's a possibility if I am, well, this is going to suck. It's going to suck because I'm going to will myself into it. So you're visualizing good things. As far as being a leader with your team, remain positive. Be encouraging. If you go down a couple questions, hey, we got this, guys. Hey, focus up. It's positive talking to them. It's talking in between. It's making sure that people know that you're not asking them to do anything that you wouldn't do. Just set a good example and go win the thing. And success breeds more like people wanting to do it as well. I saw Tom Brady win Super Bowls, and I thought, well, if that really good-looking guy can do it, well, I'm also a really good-looking athletic guy. I might as well go. I didn't. But I think you got it. But that's what you do. And don't be upset. Don't be scared. Don't feel like your nerves are a bad thing, because they're awesome. You're lucky. Eighth grade, that's awesome. I was captain in seventh grade of the 12th grade team. Not to flex too hard, but
the big flex,
that's
man.
That is what it is. I'm like, that's like her. She's awesome. So go have it. The only time I got kicked out of a game, I did get kicked out of a game once.
You argued?
No. But the question was, what is the national holiday for trees?
Arbor Day.
Yeah, it is, right. But I always buzzed in so quick. I would buzz in not even knowing what the question was yet. What's the national holiday for trees? Boom, I would just buzz in because I felt like I could get there. And so she said, what's the national holiday for? And right when she was about to say trees, I hit the button. So she still got trees out. I didn't know the answer. And my whole team's up there. It's like semifinals. And I said, I don't know, but I bet it's tremendous.
Oh, my
God. That's quick.
I got jerked out of the game.
Come on.
And I was the captain. And she was like, you can't be in seventh grade and do stupid stuff like that.
You can't make jokes?
It was. No, not then.
Oh. Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny, though.
Not really, but I remember that. That was my style. I buzzed in all the time. That was the only thing that I was like celebrated at, because I got beat up a lot. You know, life was tough as a kid. But when I was in Quiz Bowl or like a learn or Geography B, I was like the kid that it was like when a good athlete is playing, like, oh wow, there he is. He's a really good running back. People are like, there he is.
Oh.
Quiz Bowl captain.
Dang, look at him.
It's only like 2 days a year, but it's awesome, man. Good luck. I hope you kill it. Let me know how it goes. Thank you very much. Close the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag.
Yeah. It's a Bobby Bones Show interview.
In case you didn't know,
Nate Smith, he is a former worship leader, a lifelong music lover, and he's from Paradise, California. Big Garth, Tom Petty, Fleetwood Mac fan, drove an Uber, worked in the medical industry. Got a really big song right now called Whiskey on You. Here's a clip. On Instagram, at Nate Smith. And here he is now. Nate Smith, everybody.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Nate Smith.
Hey, Nate. Here you are, buddy. You're going for number one. I mean, can you believe it?
What's up, Bobby? I can't believe it.
It's a weird thing, because I'm sure like this was your goal and you knew you could do it. But now that it's actually happened and you have a song, again, that's battling for number one on the chart, it's got to feel a little surreal. What do you think about that? True or false?
Definitely true. Definitely true.
What's been different in your life over the past 5 or 6 weeks since this song has really started to take off?
I just think just been a lot of excitement with my family and my friends, and everybody's watching the chart, man. So it's good to know that I got everybody around me rooting me on. So
I think Nate's turned into a bigger star even in the past 5 or 6 weeks, and I'll tell you why. I texted him, and I didn't get a text back.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's an indicator right there.
Well, actually, I texted you a fake album cover because our last interview, we talked about being a nurse assistant, and I said more poop than you could imagine, and you're like, that's the name of my album. So I did a picture with the album title on it, and I sent it to you, and you hearted it, and I'm like, he hates me.
Are you sure you said that to me?
Dude.
We both have the wrong number. We're both texting somebody that's not each other at this point. I did.
You hearted it.
I need to go look. What hour did you text it to me, though? Because if I was doing the radio show.
Oh, there's, yeah, 10:45.
Yeah, I was still working.
Dang.
I'll go back and check. But I did have a new. You have my new number, right?
No, we got to do that.
No, I think you do. I think that's the only number you have.
Okay.
Have you changed your number?
I did. I did change my number.
Oh, okay.
Wait, okay.
So that's the issue. I'm texting whoever's got Nate's old number.
Oh, my God.
Well, also, he thinks you hate him because you just hearted it, but you should explain to him that.
Oh, the heart's the biggest sign of.
Bobby likes that.
Yeah, it's like as much phone affection as you could possibly get. I don't throw the heart around. I throw the thumbs up around. The heart I don't throw around.
That's good to know because I think I always extra heart. Like, I heart every little thing that someone gets to kind of go, I received the message. I appreciate what you said. And it's probably over the top.
Yeah, the heart is not I received the message. Thumbs up is I receive it and I see it and I got it and I somewhat agree. The heart is I want to make sweet love to you and your album cover.
Oh.
The thumbs up is kind of like rude, though, isn't it? Like, yeah, man. Like, it's kind of like passive aggressive.
See, I don't think it is. Do you?
Well, I have felt that way in the past, but I think because you've explained to me, it's just an effective way of communicating. It's very clear that you're responding to that specific text with exclamation,
I got it,
thumbs
and
up,
I
or
am,
heart.
I'm giving a satisfaction on the thumbs up, or I see what you said, this is me acknowledging it, and I will follow through with what you've said. The heart is, you're sexy. Okay, look, Nate Smith is on with us. He's got the song Whiskey on You. Hey, do you have a cool story about when you wrote this song? Like, where did you write it? Were you in like one of these generic rooms where you're just meeting with other good writers? I don't know. What's the deal here?
The short version is me and my ex-girlfriend broke up, obviously. Like, she's an ex now because we broke up. But we broke up, and then 2 days later, I had a writer's retreat at Jim Catino's place, his lake house, and ended up writing it out there. And we did the whole demo that day. I sang the vocal at the kitchen table on a like a cheap mic, and then we went to Nashville and we ended up recording everything over at Blackbird and stuff, and it just didn't feel the same. So we ended up just mixing the demo, and that's what's out. That's the vocal you're hearing. That's the music you're hearing. It's just the demo.
Did you write a lot of good songs that writer's retreat? Did you think a lot of them were good? And be honest here, or did you think this one was like super special and so you fought for it?
Yeah, no, I definitely like, because we had two rooms going at one time, so I was trying to juggle between the two rooms, but I felt like this was the one I needed to spend the most time on, so I probably neglected the other, right? But I spent most of my time on this one, so.
You gave the other right the thumbs up, and you gave this right the heart.
That's right. Exactly what happened.
That's what it's.
You're too good. You're too good at this. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I just looked at your TikTok. You have like 1.4, 1.5 million followers. Are you able to monetize your TikTok followers directly, or are you just hoping they're fans that will come to shows?
I don't know how to do all the monetizing. You get a little bit of money from like the lives and stuff like that, but I am hoping that people pre-save songs from there and then obviously come to shows, so.
His name is Nate Smith. He was going to come in live, and I was looking forward to it very much so. But
what happened?
Well, what happened was I saw how much you've been thumbs up and not enough hearting, so I said, let's hold the guy for a few weeks. But actually, he has a new album that's going to come out now in April, so we're going to wait for his in-studio appearance in April. Why'd the album get pushed back a bit?
Wait, so I'm in Bobby Bones purgatory.
You
right
are.
Now.
You're in the middle. Oh. Yeah.
It got pushed because it was like we were going to drop it in February with not a whole lot going on. I was like, this doesn't really make any sense. Like, why do it while I'm sitting on the couch in Nashville? Let's do it while I'm out Stagecoach, the Thomas Rhett Tour, like lots of stuff happening so we can promote it and push it. So I think it makes more sense to do it with stuff happening than just laying there thumbing you.
We have first of all, we're looking forward to that, you coming in here. We have a guy on the show, Lunchbox, who loves to call 911. We were talking about that yesterday. How do you feel about 911? Have you ever called 911? Has there ever been a real life emergency? Or are you scared to call like I am because you feel like you'll end up in jail?
So when I was 9 years old, I was with my brother. We were at dog training for one of our dogs. And we used the payphone there. There was actually, that's how long ago this was. And I convinced my brother that it was grandma at 911 and to make Beavis and Butthead jokes and stuff. So we're like calling whoever's on the line a Butthead and all this kind of stuff. And then we kept doing it. And then a police officer showed up, and it was actually my dad because he was a cop. So he showed up, and he actually handcuffed us, put us against the wall. We had to go in and say sorry to all the dispatchers. And still to this day, I see any of my dad's old coworkers, they call me 911 boy.
That's, oh, my gosh.
Yes. Whoa. He put him in the penitentiary.
Bad boy.
He served 6 months in jail. Like, your dad really went through with it. I like that.
I was a bad boy.
He's a bad boy. Nate Smith, congrats. I think the song's going to do it. It's a great song. Big fan of you, even though I don't have his new number, apparently. I've been texting with some lady now who has Nate's old number. But congrats, and we'll see you when the album comes out. And anything else you want to say on your final trip here on the phone, Nate?
Just love you guys so much. Yes. I appreciate all the help and everything. And nice. I will text you my new number right now so you can stop, you know, feeling neglected.
Well, I'm going to give this interview a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. I give it a heart.
No, I give it a thumbs up. No, you know what? I give it a... What are the other ones? I give it a ha-ha.
Oh, ha-ha.
I give it a
exclamation
ha-ha.
Points?
Yes.
Exclamation.
Nah, I give it a ha-ha. All right, Nate, see you, buddy.
See ya.
All right, bye. There he is, Nate Smith. I'm working on it hard. Like, I'm investing a lot of time in trying to get quality sleep. Quality sleep is essential. I love my Sleep Number smart bed because I don't have to worry about that part. Because my Sleep Number smart bed is designed for, well, now my ever-evolving sleep needs as I'm trying to figure out what's happening with me physically. Like, I'm on a CPAP now. You can choose what's right for you and your partner because I'm talking about temperature, I'm talking about firmness, I'm talking about softness. Whatever it is, it's there for you. You can have different, and that saves a fight. There you go. You're welcome. So my Sleep Number setting is 30. My Sleep IQ score last night was 87. I mean, it's great for partners because, again, you're always like, bed's too hot, room's too cold, whatever that is. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dogs' water bowls, treats and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads, and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer. but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but, you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
4 years ago, April Gavin returned back to her home in Oregon after a flight from Chicago. Her suitcase did not make the trip, so she spent several months searching for the suitcase. The airline was like, we don't know where it is, but we'll pay you for it. She's like, man, you can't find it anywhere? No, we're very sorry. Here's some money. Well, somehow, someway, they located the suitcase, and they gave it back to April. This is months later. The suitcase had turned up at an airport in Houston after arriving on a flight from Honduras. So things flew all around the world.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It was in Honduras, explained April in a video she posted on social media. And who knows where else it went. The bag was slightly damaged and worn, but everything else was in good shape. Nothing was stolen, and there was some really important stuff in there that she didn't want to be lost. And she got to keep the money, too.
Awesome.
Hey, that's a win-win.
And what I want to do in this segment is let you know you can put an AirTag in your suitcase. My wife and I went on a trip, and I talked about it on the show because they were like, hey, you don't have to travel back and take your big bags and put them through customs or security, so we'll mail them back for you. And we're like, wow, talk about a perk. This is crazy. Luckily, we put AirTags on our suitcases and our dogs. We don't want to lose either one of them. And so we got home, and there were no bags. And there were no bags for days. And so we got on, and they were just trapped in an airport. We didn't get our bags for almost a month and a half. And not only that, we had to go, no, the bag is right here, we had to like argue with them and they finally found our bags and we got them back. One of the wheels was broken, but we got paid too. But we got our stuff back because we could tell them exactly where it was with the AirTag.
Yeah, I bet they're not used to that.
And those AirTags, you can take them out and put them in different things. So as soon as I got back from the bags, then I put them in. I got one of my keys. I got one in my wallet. They're great for that. But I thought that was a cool story and a way for me to tell you guys, there are other options too, other than AirTags. They're like little cards.
The tiles.
Yeah, you got to keep track of your stuff that you aren't able to be with the whole time. You got to put one maybe surgically implant in your kid.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, there's a lot of
where they are always.
All right, that's the good news. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
There's a new episode of the Bobbycast up right now with Jake Owen. It's an hour of us, you know, getting super personal with him. And he talks about why his name is Jake Owen, because that's not his real name. His name's Josh Owen. But when he moved to town, there was already a Josh Owen, and he tried all these different names, but just with people to see how they felt. And this is that conversation right here. I'd never heard this story told like this, but here's Jake Owen on the origin of his stage name.
I remember in that second apartment that I ended up getting, there was a pool party going on that day when I moved in. The guy below me that I met, his name was Dave, and his wife Kathy, I still talk to. They helped me move in. And at the time, you got to understand, like, I'd gone through my whole life known as Josh. That was my birth-given name, Josh and Jared, my twin brother. But I didn't want to be Josh. That was another thing that kind of felt empowering in a weird way. People often say, they're like, oh, would you move to town and then label made you change your name? I'm like, nah, man, I was Jake, like, the day I moved to town.
Why?
But in an instant, I changed it. I remember talking to my mom on the way up, like, what am I going to go by? Like, I can't go as Josh. And I'll tell you why. Josh Turner at the time was on the radio. There was a Josh Grayson. There's another guy on the radio. It was great. And then there was a guy named Josh Owen, which made me solidify it even more. I dropped a CD off under Josh Owen at BMI 2 weeks before I moved to Nashville. I actually came up here to case the place, you know, like, can I live here? And then I went back to Tallahassee 2 weeks later is when I called my parents and said, I'm moving tomorrow. But while I was here, I dropped a CD off at the time to BMI up front, Josh Owen, whatever. When I got back, I called him on it. They're like, yeah, they said you'd come by the day before. And I'm like, definitely did not. And they're like, no, we have your album here too. And so I went back by there, and the album that they had was another guy named Josh Owen from Texas, who I think was on Nashville Star, maybe even. So there's already a Josh Owen. There was a Josh Turner, Josh Grayson. So I considered, since my middle name's Ryan, there was a moment there I was going to go by JR, Bobby.
JR Owen?
JR Owen, baby. Just call me JR. Like, my mom watched Dallas as a kid. So there was that guy, JR.
And JR sounds cowboy country.
Kind of cool. Yeah. You know?
Did you ever consider Ryan?
So this is the funny part. So when I meet Dave and Kathy moving in that day to my apartment, he's like, "Hey, man, I'm Dave." And I'm like, "I'm JR."
You're a workshop. You're testing
just
it?
Just testing it out. Dude, and my mom had no idea. She overheard me. I could see her like look at me, like almost laugh. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm looking at her like, "Don't say anything. Like, I'm JR to this guy. He knows no different." So I'm down at the pool or whatever a few minutes later, and I'm meeting some people he's introing me to that are I've already lived in this place, and it's kind of the whole like, "Hey, he's the new guy, moved here, he plays music too." And I said to this one other guy, I'm like, "I'm Jake, man, what's up?" And I remember that's when my buddy Dave was like, "Wait, I thought you said your name was JR." And I was like, "Well, it is, but I go by Jake." So like the Jake Ryan, I'm just going to go by Jake. And it was just easier. And I started going by Jake that day at the pool party. To this day, that's what everybody's called me. And in a weird way, since I'm 41 now and I was 22 then, like half of my life I was known as one thing. The other half I've been known as this. And in a weird way, way more people know me now as Jake than ever knew me as Josh. I still don't mind when I go home and some of my friends would call me Josh.
They do.
Totally. And they can't help it. But then there's some people too that call me Josh just to like kind of get at me. Because they know if I call you Josh, then you know I know you mm-hmm. before.
And they really didn't. All right, that's Jake Owen. Hear that full hour up on the Bobbycast. It's a podcast I do. It is an hour long, super in-depth and personal with Jake Owen / Josh Owen / J.R. Owen / whatever. It's all there. Check it out. The only way Lunchbox can go visit Todd Chrisley in prison in Florida is if Todd puts him on a list. And we've told Lunchbox, if he puts you on the list, you can take off from the show and drive down and go visit him. Awesome. You ever visited anyone in prison?
No, just been visited in prison.
You weren't in prison. That's you were jail. In jail. And oh. That was a bit we did on the show.
That's different.
And you were out in 24 hours. that ain't the big house. That's a small house.
But they did say my name over the thing and go to, you know, visitation room 2. And I walk in there and it was just like on TV where there's the window and you pick up the phone. You talk to the other guy on the other side.
As a lawyer,
right? It was like, yeah. And I was like, when they called my name, I was like, dang, my dad's here to see me.
It wasn't your dad, though, was it?
No, it was the lawyer. I had no idea who it was. I was like, how did my dad know how to find me?
Lunchbox got one call out of prison. Jail. Sorry. Now he's convinced me he was in jail. We did a bit, whatever. Lunchbox went to jail and he got one call and he called me. And so I had to call his parents and be like, "Hey, Lunchbox is in jail."
Oh, no.
It's a weird call, man. So Lunch wants to go visit Todd Chrisley, and I think that's awesome. And Todd was a guest host on our show. We know Todd Chrisley. We didn't know what he was up to, but we know. So to go visit, he's got to be on a list. Todd's got to put you on a list. The only way we can get a hold of him is by writing a letter. You've written it. How long is it?
It's not that long.
Okay. Here is Lunchbox's letter to Todd Chrisley with the intention of getting on a list to go visit him. Okay, here we go.
Todd, I hope you're doing well and settling in and getting comfortable in your new dig. It's Lunchbox. You might remember me playing with you in a charity softball game a few years ago. I was on your team then, and I'm on your team now.
Oh.
A lot of innocent people get wrongly convicted every day.
Oh, come on.
And it's a shame this happened to you. The Todd I know doesn't deserve to be in prison. Women commit fraud every day with their push-up bras, Spanx, and all that makeup, but they're still out here walking the streets.
What?
But they have you locked up for the next 12 years. Oh, seems crazy if you ask me. I'm heading to Florida in a few weeks, so I wanted to stop in and catch up on life. If you could do me a solid, I need you to add me to your visitor list so I can get past the guards. Let me know if you need me to bring anything and keep your head up. We will get through this together. I will always be the captain of Team Todd. TT for life. Your BFF Lunchbox.
I like
it's
it.
Pretty good.
That's a good
really
letter.
Good.
The only thing I think I would put in there is I really want to come. I mean, you really have to, because he could think it was a joke. He could think you're just kidding with him, like, put me on the list so I can get past the guards. I would just say, I do want to come visit you if that's cool, but I need to be on the list. Like, seriously.
Mm.
Like,
okay.
Seriously.
So I should put P.S.? Like,
yeah, P.S. As much as this seemed funny, it was, but I would love to come see you. So let me know if you can put me on the list.
Okay.
There just needs to be a serious line.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, that was good, right?
Is it okay that he's like lying about the whole being on your side kind of thing?
You know what, Eddie? I don't care.
I mean, he went a little hard on
he
that.
He did.
Because
okay, he's definitely not. He actually did the research that convinced us
exactly
of the opposite. Because I was like, I don't know. What do I know about this case? Sometimes people in Lunchbox, well, actually, he did it. And here's how I think that.
Yeah.
Man, so, when you read into it, it didn't seem like he did it.
Okay, but now you just contradicted yourself.
Yeah, see,
I know, but for the letter.
TT for life.
Yeah, TT for life, man.
Send it off today.
Okay.
And then every week or so, we'll just check in and see if you've gotten a letter back.
What if he writes back?
Are there any rules? Can you send it next day air to prison? Or do you have to send it regular? Like, how is there a rule on the envelopes coming in?
I don't know what kind of packages they can get in prison. Like, can I send a care package? Like, could I send goldfish with it?
No.
Probably not. You have to get
And they're going to look at every letter that's sent, obviously.
Oh, yeah. They check it for drugs, everything.
But I wonder if you could just send, because we use stamps.com. Can we just send it, like, UPS?
Like, yeah, that's a good
guy question. In the brown truck drives up. This is Todd Chrisley.
You should call the prison and ask him.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
Man, then that's cool.
We'll check with you in about a week or so. We won't hear anything in a week, but we'll check with you anyway.
Okay.
All right. Nice job. The Bob
Bone Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
A poll found that the average adult keeps 20 toys from their childhood, mostly to pass down to their own kids and grandchildren. And the three most commonly kept toys are Barbie dolls, Legos, and Hot Wheels.
Well, I have Barbie dolls, but
you just bought those.
They're new Barbie dolls. They're Arkansas Razorback cheerleaders from like the 90s. I don't have any toys, but I really didn't have any toys as a kid, so I don't have any. Ed, do you have any toys you saved?
No, I'm trying to think, but I'd say, like, maybe when we were in college, my wife, we were dating, and she kind of got me into the whole, like, get rid of all your stuff. Like, you don't need all that
she
stuff.
She got you into it. She forced you to do it. There's a difference.
But I was a rat, a pack rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would keep everything, but she kind of turned me into that mindset.
You?
I have Madame Alexander dolls. My grandmother bought them for me every Christmas, and so I had this collection. They're still somewhere, but that's all I have. It's not a toy. You just look at it.
I got every toy I ever owned. You have anything?
I have baseball cards. That's it.
That's cool.
For the reason of?
Because I thought they were going to be worth a lot of money, and I would be able to sell them. I didn't think about passing them on to my kids. But now that I have kids, I guess they can have them. But I have zero toys.
Why don't you get those appraised and see if they're worth any money?
I should. I still have some that, like, you buy the box, like, packs, and you don't open them because they're supposed to be worth a lot of money later. So I have a bunch of those in my closet in my parents' house.
Unopened.
Unopened.
If you bring those in, unopened, this week, just let me look. I don't even want to look at the cards. I just want to see what the boxes are.
Okay.
I'll make a bid to go in half with you. You don't have to say yes. I'll just make a bid.
Go in half on what?
On whatever he makes when he sells them?
Yeah, like, I will buy the rights to half of the cards, and we may get way less later.
Gotcha.
We may get way more.
Yeah.
But he can also say no.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it. I know I got football, baseball,
well, bring
basketball.
Bring the boxes in, okay. And we'll take a look, and I'll go, okay, oh, so you have a 1999 box of Fleer. I'll give you $90, like this, and then I own
and then you own half.
And then we'll get them appraised, and like we'll have Mike track somebody down and get them appraised. Like, okay. We'll do all that work, too.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
So it's free money, right?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to lose more money with them. Yeah. Golly. All right, go ahead.
There's a doctor who hasn't showered in about 5 years.
That's crazy.
And he's doing it because he says, as humans, we don't need to shower like we do. We're killing the...
How come every other doctor says the opposite? And he's the one that does that. So we're like, oh, maybe he's onto something.
Well, we're showering off all the bacteria that we're supposed to have, even the good bacteria that ultimately... eats the odors. So But he says you have to build it up. Like, you'll stink at first, but then as time passes,
you stop smelling yourself. But you still stink.
He said you won't smell. You'll just smell like a person.
No, you'll just not smell yourself anymore. It's like if you have cats or your house would smell like cigarettes back in the day. You wouldn't smell it anymore because you live there.
Mm-hmm.
But he walks around, everybody's like, oh God. No, he's like, and also for some reason people don't stand around you anymore. Yeah. We probably shower too much. If you're like me, yes, okay, I get it. But I don't think you should not shower for 5 years. Culturally, in some cultures, they fart at dinner to show how good the meal is.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What culture is that?
That's
awesome.
Tell us more.
Or they burp right loud, too. They have all cultures are different.
Wow.
This guy's culture I'm not part of. I don't like it.
I wonder how many patients he lost when this story came out.
What else?
Okay, I got a personal question for you, Bobby. If you're out at a bar and Arkansas loses, do you have to go home or could you lead a sing-along?
I kind of done this.
You've done the sing-along?
No, but we played a show and Arkansas lost and then we had to go out and perform.
So yeah.
You had to perform.
Yeah.
This is like just by choice, having fun at a bar, lead a sing-along. Okay, well, because that's what Toby Keith did. He's a diehard Oklahoma fan and he was out at a bar, an OSU bar, and let a sing-along for Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Should have been a cowboy. Should have learned to rope.
Toby Keith. He's in a good spirit. He's like beating cancer right now.
Yeah.
I'd probably lead a sing along for anything if that were the case, because some stuff's just bigger than games. Unless it's Arkansas games and nothing's bigger.
Good point.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
A couple weeks ago, someone broke into the Make a Difference Dog Rescue in Detroit, Michigan. It's like the fifth time in the last year people have broken in. They stole four little pooches. So they put up flyers. They found the dogs. But they're like, guys, this has to stop happening. And some donor saw the news story and was like, we got to help them out. Wrote them a check. $500,000 so they can get better security and find a new place where it's a little bit more secure.
Wow. And, well, security. Security.
Yeah. Yeah, that's secure.
According, I'm looking here on Zillow for $500,000. It looks like they got a tent in the back corner of town.
Oh, man.
See, it's the market now, you know?
Right.
You know how we know this is not Lunchbox?
I do.
Because he would have put his name all over it.
It would have been called Lunchbox's Dog Rescue.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's funny. He would have named it after him.
Absolutely. Here, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I'll donate $500,000, change the name. Because that's why people give money to buildings, right? Like, that's so cool to have your name on a building.
No, they pay for that.
It just depends. So let's say you are heavily, you work with a hospital that does a lot of work for kids.
Okay.
I know a family who this hospital saved their kid's life. So they felt indebted to the doctors and the kids. I don't know them super close, but they're very rich. So what they did is they updated like the entire wing. Structurally, they gave a lot of money to it. So they just named that wing in the building after that.
That's what I'm talking about.
But they didn't do that to get their name on the building.
Correct. But if you want to buy the high rise, you can pay to put your name.
Oh, you
up
literally
there.
Can buy a totally. Place. You can put your name on your house, Lunchbox.
I'm saying like you can be named John Hopkins University, right? Like by donating a lot of money.
No, not. You have to start the university, basically.
Well, isn't there a hospital, John Hopkins?
Yeah.
But yes, to your point, there's gyms, there's buildings at college
campuses. You can do that, too.
Yes. Like a high school?
Like Jerry Jones at the University of Arkansas has a Jerry Jones football complex.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because
he basically
paid for it, but he's also an alumni there, mm-hmm. and he didn't do it just to get his name on it.
Oh, I'd like to do it just to get your name on it.
He's passionate about the sport and keeping it alive and
something.
Having the best of the best.
Even if it's small. Buy something, get your name on it.
You should call your high school to see if they change the name to you.
No, a chair. Oh. Just a chair in like the music room or something. Yeah.
I mean, I am one of the most famous people to ever come out of Anderson High School, so they could name a wing after me. Yeah.
No, call them and say you want to donate
a locker. A locker. You'll donate $100 if they'll name a locker after you.
I love it.
And I tell you what, if they will, I will give them the $100.
Wow. And
will we go have a ceremony?
I won't go back for that, but we can digitally get, we can go in. So call them and see how much it would cost for them to dedicate a locker to you.
Okay.
And if it's $100 or so, I'll pay for it. And then you'll go back and be at the ceremony.
That would be awesome. Maybe they put a plaque because I remember where my locker was, one of my lockers.
Well, that's what it would be. It'd be a plaque or some kind of like.
Yeah.
Okay. Make the call.
I'll call them.
All right. Thank you. That is what this is about dogs, by the way. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
About to get to Amy's Morning Corny, but first, here's a corny from the voicemail that was sent to us last night.
My morning corny is, why was the strawberry concerned for the blueberry? Because he was looking very blue.
Is that a kid?
Sounds like it.
Okay, just making sure. Because that's a really childlike corny. I liked it. That's Savannah from Louisville. Savannah, thank you for calling. Now let's go over to Amy's Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
Why did the pie go to the dentist?
Why did the pie go to the dentist?
To get a filling.
Nice. Okay, is she a kid?
No,
is
she's
she a child? No,
she's an adult.
Okay, just making sure.
I knew that was coming.
Okay.
That was the Morning Corny.
This is a voicemail from Natalie in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I just wanted to say I can't wait for the next Raging Idiots hit. Hangy Bangy, come out.
The Hangy Funny. Bangy, according to Lunchbox, is the thing that hangs down your throat, that ball. Who told you that was the name of it?
I've been calling it.
Your mom and dad?
Yeah, I guess they call it the Hangy Bangy.
We call it that now, too. It's just a normal word.
I like it now.
It's the Hangy Bangy. We haven't thought about that as a song yet. It's pretty funny. All right, here's Dan from Texas.
Catching up on the podcast, and I heard Bobby say that he can put his tongue behind his hangy-bangy. I've seen that before, but is the reason why you can do that is because you don't have the webbing under your tongue? Just wondering.
I think I do.
No, lift up your tongue. No, lift up your tongue.
That's my tongue. Oh, my God.
What the crap? You don't have it.
Yes, I do.
Go again.
No, you don't.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have it. See, we can't do that because we're attached with this
web. Yeah, we're attached to our bottom.
Yours just folds back like a...
That's disgusting.
That's weird. Hey, you need to get that checked out.
Ladies, you missed out.
What in the over. World?
I got no women. Hanging with my hangy-bangy.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is now. Well, wow. Okay, call Guinness. I'm ready to be in that book.
Get him over here.
That's right. All right, coming up in a second, things that... Like food in your teeth. Do you want somebody to tell you? Amy has a story about that. We'll get to that in our Mount Rushmore of things that are embarrassing when we don't know they're happening. Next.
Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dogs' water bowls, treats, and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads, and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
All right, so what happened?
At a restaurant, the server comes over and she has a huge piece of lettuce in her front teeth.
In between the front two or which two? Like, tell me which, like one, over one?
The one right to the left of the middle. There's no way to miss this. And the thing is, she came to our table from another table. So I know she had it in her teeth at that table, and nobody said anything to her.
So first of all, what would you do? And then we're going to guess what Amy did.
Okay.
The server walks up, big, fat, like green and white. Oh. Mm-hmm. Lunchbox, what would you do, honestly?
I'd laugh to myself, and then I'd just look at her. I wouldn't say a thing. It's not my responsibility to take care of her teeth. I figure she's got coworkers for that. And then when she walks away, I'm like, did you see that in her teeth? And I laugh at her.
Eddie?
How awkward would it be to have that conversation? I just let it happen. And then, like, Lunchbox, when she leaves, be like, that was funny. Did you all see the way you let us? That's great.
I think to myself, when I was a server, if I would have wanted somebody to say it to me, and I think it's one of those hard truths that you're happy someone tells you, because then you didn't go to more tables. And it's not like there are a ton of mirrors while you're working, because it's not like you go back in the kitchen and there are mirrors everywhere and you see it and you're running back and forth and there are other servers, but it's not like you're standing around smiling at each other. Man, I think I would have liked it if someone would have been like, hey, heads up, you got something in your teeth in case you didn't see, if you just ate back. It'd have been hard, and I don't know that I have the guts, because I don't think I would have said anything either. But maybe I would have had this conversation in my head going, you really wish somebody would have told you.
Because when you tell someone, it's always awkward when they're like, oh, where, here? This tooth?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you got some lipstick on your teeth. Yeah, I just let them go. Like, sorry.
I think I would have let her go too. I hate to say that because I wish somebody would have told me. We're not good people though, Amy, apparently. What did you do?
Well, y'all all like the table that she was at before mine, because I had to tell her.
You did.
I could not let her walk around to another table with the spinach. And the bottom line is, I would want someone to tell me, because then I'm going to go to the bathroom or somehow get in a mirror and I'm going to notice it and I'm going to be mortified.
How did you tell her?
I just said, oh, hey, you have like a little lettuce in your teeth.
Lettuce.
Just like
you
that.
Went for the exact food.
I mean, it looked like green. I mean, I don't know what it was.
They'd say, good for you for eating your vegetables. You made it feel good.
Yes.
Had a girl.
So give her a heads up. And then she was able to leave and go take care of it before she went and started serving other tables.
What was her reaction, though, for you saying that?
Gratitude.
It was?
Yeah.
Not embarrassment?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's always that. Anytime someone has to tell you, like y'all said, something in your mouth or your flies down.
Terrible.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, the flies down one sucks sometimes.
Oh, no.
Especially if I've been out doing something, like, yo, your flies down. I'll do this. Yeah, no.
And then once you leave, you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, golly. Yeah, embarrassing things that people have to tell you. Can you think of any others? Toilet paper on your shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a bad.
That's not good.
Hey, bro. You just walked all the way through the restaurant. There's toilet paper on your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a bad one. Your tag's still on your shirt.
Oh, that's one too.
That's awful.
Or somebody happens. On this show would go, hey, new shirt? No. Why? I've had this thing forever. Oh, yeah? Yeah, I've had it for like 4 months or so. Really? Oh, yeah, there's a tag hanging off. Oh, crap. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. So let's rank them. Something in your teeth, probably the worst.
Oh,
if
that's
it's
number
food,
one.
If it's food. Lipstick, I don't think is that embarrassing.
No.
But food, like I know about lipstick, food on your teeth or on your mouth is number one. Do we rank toilet paper on your shoe number two?
Oh, that's the worst. I mean, I think that's
number two is
really bad.
That's number two.
Tag on your shirt. Do you guys care?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, because that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, mostly though, I'm like not wanting to say I have something new.
That's when you just say, I was going to take it back.
No, I don't say that. That's number three. Was there another one
that you had said?
Or was that it?
I think that's it.
Did we do fly down?
Oh, fly down.
Is fly up above tag?
Yeah.
Bad.
Okay, so here's our Mount Rushmore of embarrassing things that we're told that we didn't know was going on. One is teeth. Two, that might be fly.
Fly's pretty bad, man.
Well, speaking of fly, I just had a memory of one time that I had to tell you your fly was down, and this is years ago. You probably don't remember given the circumstances. You want me to tell you?
I don't want you to lead it all up and then be like, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. So we were all in Arkansas for your mom's funeral. And you had to go. You were speaking at the funeral. And we were all in the little lobby area of the funeral home. And your fly was down. And I had to tell you. And I did.
That's a good thing you told him on that.
I know.
Really?
But that's my example. That was my moment of Bobby
having
his fly.
And I had a new shirt on with a tag and something in my teeth.
Yeah.
It was I ran the whole thing.
No, but I could not let you go up in front of everybody with your fly down.
If you guys have any of these you want to add to it, go to our Facebook page and add it up there. We'll list them back for you guys. So, okay, let's get this straight. One, teeth. Two, fly.
Yeah.
Three, toilet paper. Four,
tag
on your shirt.
Yeah.
That's the Mount Rushmore of embarrassing things that you have to be told is happening to you when you don't even know it. Yesterday, Hardy was on. And as Hardy was on talking about his new album that's out, I brought up a text that he had sent me months prior where he says, dude, I got the craziest ghost story. He's like, you ain't going to believe it, but it is for real. So I asked him, and he collects Native American artifacts, and he believed his old place was haunted by Native Americans because, or his cabin, because they're all in his house. Well, now he's moved into a studio. He thinks that studio's haunted. Crazy. Listen to the podcast. At my house, I've said it before, there's a ghost dog. It's for some reason haunting my house. And I know it's a ghost dog because it was at the window. My dogs were going absolutely ape crap. I pushed them in a room real quick so they would chill out. And then I went out to see, and the dog was gone. There was no chance. And then I looked at the cameras that we have on our property. There was never a dog. There was never a dog. And I've seen it at least two or three times now. There's never been a dog on the camera. There's a ghost dog in my house. I don't know why the ghost dog, I don't even believe it, but it's there. Like, I don't believe it was there, but I know it was there. Okay. Like, I don't believe ghosts are just, but there was a ghost dog on my property, right? Now listen to this story. Matthew and Lauren Kane were laying in bed looking through security footage when they spotted a ghost walking their dog.
What?
Whoa.
In the video, the figure walks out of an antique cabinet. The couple says that cabinet contains the urns and ashes of dead relatives and pets.
Oh, okay. See, this is why you don't keep the ashes.
Matthew, that's why you don't keep the ashes?
Yeah.
Because the ghost comes out and walks your animal. Oh, sounds actually so why weird. You would. So the dog gets walked in the middle of the night.
Yeah. You don't have to do it.
I'm like asking nice. For people's ashes just so I can borrow so I'll walk my dogs. Matthew says he's skeptical about the paranormal, but says, I can't explain it, but it's there to see. But they got the footage, and it looks like a ghost is walking their dogs. It's crazy. Now, I don't believe this, but it's there.
So do some ghosts come out on the camera and some don't? Like the ghost dog not on camera, this ghost on camera.
I don't think there are rules for ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah, and does it look not. Just like, the dog, I haven't seen the video, but the dog is being walked?
He describes the figure as having a perfectly round head. It leaves a trail of light behind it. And he's like, I don't believe this kind of stuff, but I can't explain it. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Their dog didn't bark during the encounter. And so he said, well, the dog must have been comfortable with them, so it had to be a relative or a family member or somebody, because the dog usually barks around people that they don't know.
Oh, my.
Tell me that's not crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Now, we talk about aliens and, again, paranormal. And this was a call that I got from my friend Charlemagne, who works in New York. I saw on their show, he has a show called The Breakfast Club, that he says he thinks aliens have visited him in his sleep. And he's had sleep paralysis. And he has, like, dots on his legs where he's been probed. And the thing about him is that he is one of the smartest guys I know, period. Just wildly bright. And when he says this, you're like, is he so smart that he knows? Or maybe I give him a little too much credit. I don't know. But this guy is like heads and shoulders above most other folks I know when it comes to just general intelligence. So I don't think he's just throwing this stuff out there. So I said, hey, dude, we're talking about it on the show. Will you tell me what happened? And this is a voice memo that he sent me back about his experience.
I saw a flying saucer when I was in third grade. When I was in third grade, I was playing outside in my grandmother's yard, and I turned around, and literally hovering over the trees was what you would consider a flying saucer. Like all the stuff you see in the movies, it was jet black, and it hovered there for a while, and then it shot off. One time, I woke up and I had this sleep paralysis feeling, which we call a hag in the country. And when I looked up, that thing from Signs, the alien from Signs, and this was, I think, even before I saw Signs. Had to be before I saw Signs. The thing from Signs was standing over me, and it was purple and black. And it was breathing just like it was in Signs. And as the sun started to come up, it just started to fade away. And I've told my mother these stories for years. Wrote about them in my first book, Black Privilege. Like, I have no reason to make any of this stuff up. Damn, I just thought about it and realizing how crazy it does sound repeating these things. But it happened.
The fact that he's got spots on his calves, he woke up one morning, there were two dots on his calves, both legs, exact same spot. That's crazy. Even
that's
if it was
weird.
Like termites or mm-hmm. bed, who knows? The exact same spot. It's just too much smoke fire at all.
How about the fact that the description of the alien looked just like the one in the movie?
Like, and how about the fact that he thinks, because I grew up a hillbilly like him, thinks it happened to me?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know what the hag is? Have you ever heard that?
I have not. I don't know what that is. But where we come from, if that happens, you just take some Robitussin and it goes away.
Yeah,
it
feels better. To work.
Yeah, get back to it. So, okay, there's all that. I just wanted to share that with you guys. It's crazy. And ghost dogs, ghost family members walking their dogs, Hardy, listened to that yesterday, Charlemagne, all this is crazy. It's a lot of smoke for there to be no fire at all. Like something of all those stories has to be kind of true. Maybe not all of them, but something. Okay, that's all. A special edition of the news here. These are all stories, but all these stories in one way or another relate to us.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
Somehow. So it's all things that are currently happening, but let's find the tie-in once I finish the story.
Bobby's Big Stories.
From UPI.com, a class ring that went missing decades ago has been returned to its original owner. The Texas woman who owned the ring thought she had misplaced it, but it was actually stolen and admitted as evidence in a 1986 drug trial. But she got the ring back. It's a graduating class from 1956 at DuPo High School in Illinois. She always just looked, thought it was gone, and here she goes. She gets it back. So pretty cool to get that back after all these years. It's a sentimental thing. And how does this relate to us?
Amy lost her ring.
Well, or was it stolen?
Stolen.
Yeah, we don't know.
In a robbery.
Yes.
And this was from 1956, Amy, so you have time.
Yeah.
I know, but I would rather get it now. My class ring is from 2003. Texas A&M has Amy on the inside engraved. It's gold with a tiny diamond. Thank you.
And so what's the reward you're offering?
Are we doing a reward?
$550.
Oh, I forgot.
$550. And how much of this am I offering?
$550.
I think it was
$500. Am I doing all of them?
I think Bobby was $500.
Man, that's some bullcrap.
Yeah, I think Amy added the $50.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. So well,
$550.
There's a $550 reward for this ring. Mm-hmm. If you can find Amy's Texas A&M class ring, she's talked to the cops in the town where you lived in North Carolina. Was there a break-in?
Yes.
At your house?
Yes.
Yeah. That's got to be worth it.
Yeah, you got to assume that diamond's gone too. So when you say there's a little tiny diamond in it, you think they would pop that diamond out,
oh,
right?
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's teeny tiny.
You know what? $600. Let's make it $600.
Whoa. Wow.
You find Amy's class ring from Texas A&M.
Okay.
$600. So that's $550. Oh, it's so stupid. Why do I do this? All right, next up. In Texas, the mother of an Arlington High School student is being investigated after allegedly sneaking into the school and watching her daughter get into a fight. Reportedly, the mom was able to blend it in with the rest of the students. She's like, da-da, walking in. Maybe, I don't know, she squat her legs, gets shorter, walks right through. And she had a backpack over her, tries to look young. She gets in, and she did that just so she could be with her daughter and watch her daughter beat up another girl, apparently.
Oh, my gosh.
That's from Mid-Hudson News.
That's crazy.
Before first period, when the fisticuffs began, the story says, the mom in question could be heard using vulgar language to encourage her daughter to beat the other girl up.
What?
Okay, well, we all know
who does
who
that
this
relate
is.
To?
That's you, Eddie, because you...
No, Eddie would break up the fight. This Correct. Is you, Lunchbox, because I feel as though you're the one that would encourage your kid to... pound them harder.
Nope. It's actually Amy again. Her mom came to school with her. Showed up at her school one day Amy continued to be late to class. And all of a sudden, her mom was there at school with her going, I'm going to walk you to class.
That's right.
Yeah, she tapped me on the shoulder. She was definitely not trying to blend in. Unfortunately, she definitely looked like my mom. And she tapped me on the shoulder and said, let's go. And I said, where? She said, math class. I said, okay. So I went. I was never late to math again.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Next up from Uproxx. Robert Pattinson has tried a ton of different fad diets, especially for movie roles. But this one he did was a cleanse where he ate nothing but boiled potatoes for 2 weeks. And it worked, but he came away from it going, hey, don't obsess over weight loss because it can be addictive and insidious and could be really terrible for your health. But for his job, he needed to look a certain way. So he went and ate nothing but boiled potatoes for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Who does this relate to?
Eddie and his Matthew McConaughey.
That's
diet.
Right.
Yeah, that's me.
That disgusting.
For how long did you do that?
I did that for a whole month. Because Matthew McConaughey, he was trying to lose weight for that Dallas Buyers Club movie. And he was just doing boiled eggs in the morning and then fish, baked fish, and like a cup of veggies every single day. And that's all he ate. And all the red wine you can drink. And I did it for a whole month. I lost, 35 pounds, 40 pounds?
And here's the thing, too. Eddie, at this time,
was so dumb.
Was in my wedding. Right, he was my best man, and all of if you're my best man or my groomsman, I had the suits covered. They're really nice suits. You'd have to pay for them. All like nice, but Eddie got his fit to him when he was Dallas Buyers Club size.
So I had lost all that weight and that nice tux I got.
You can never wear it, but also
I did wear it to the CMAs. Man, I couldn't sit down.
Eddie said he was gonna. He said he was worried he was gonna rip the
suit.
It
was gonna pop.
You need to have it let out, and it's not just a tux. It also can be worn as a very nice suit as well.
It's very nice.
But you got it when you were way too skinny.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get back to that weight again.
No, that's not the point.
What did he
just
say?
Let
potatoes?
It out.
Okay.
Okay.
From Unilad, an NFL player quits football to sell Pokemon cards. Blake Martinez was a linebacker with the Packers, the Giants, and the Raiders. After 7 seasons in the NFL, he decided to hang up his shoulder pads and go to selling Pokemon cards. He said he started collecting when he was 6, and he's gotten back into it. And he can make selling this a full-time job. He just sold one for $672,000.
Wow.
That's Mike D.
Yeah, that's Mike D. D. And his cards.
Who has a ton of Pokemon cards. You never got them appraised, though, did you?
I did.
Oh, we did on the show?
Yeah, $2,500.
For all of them?
For all of them.
Were you disappointed with that?
No, that's pretty good. That's worth keeping them all these years.
Would you sell them?
No.
In no way?
No, I'll give them to my kids someday.
That's fair.
I mean, okay. I don't think your kids want those.
They might.
Well, they'll want anything if it's worth money.
Yeah. You're right.
I figure Pokemon's awesome, too. I just never got into it. There are too many people I know that like it. Or did love it as a kid, that I'm like, there must be something there.
We did do that app, though. Remember Pokemon Go, where we would find
like a week?
Yeah, you guys. Oh. Mm-hmm.
One other story that is just specifically us, I did want to bring up. Eddie's youngest kid just had a birthday. And just because here on the show, I remember the day Eddie called me. I was like, hey, I'm not going to be in today. I was like, what up, dude? You sick? He goes, no. We just got a call to go pick up a baby at the hospital. And I was like, what? Yeah, we're going to foster this baby. And it was a newborn baby.
Newborn baby. Been in the hospital for 2 weeks and needed a place to go because it was ready to be discharged.
And you guys had been working to foster, and your wife was like, we want to foster. And you were like, I don't know if this is for us.
I just never thought that we would be able to do that. Because, you know, I mean, we have two kids already, and I didn't know if I was able to do it. But my wife was like, yes, we can do it. And then I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. We got certified, and Bones, it was a year certification to do this. And this was the last month of certification. So I was literally saying like, well, I guess it's not in the cards. No child. No, they haven't called us to foster anyone, so we're not going to do it. But then with that last month came the call.
They said, we got a baby. Come on. So Eddie went and got it. You took the baby home. How was it the first couple of days?
Crazy. Just weird. I mean, we hadn't had a baby in the house in 5 years. I remember taking the car seat into the hospital, and the base was on it and everything. And they're like, no, sir, the base stays in the car. You bring the seat. I was like, it's been 5 years. I don't remember this.
Because you had two kids at the time.
Uh-huh.
And you go to pick up the baby. What's it like when you get that call that morning or that night?
Oh, that was exciting because it's like you get that call. And my wife had to actually go to the hospital and stay 24 hours with the baby before we could take it, just so the baby can feel comfortable around her. Not that you can just rip him out of the hospital.
So you get the baby. And we're going to get to the end here, which is what Eddie's doing with his birthday. But so you get the baby, take it home. And then what happens?
And then we have a baby in the house. And it's like, oh, crap, we don't have diapers. I got to go to the store, get diapers. Oh, we need pacifiers. We need baby bottles. We need formula. We need all this stuff. And it was really just, okay, I got to go pick up all that stuff, all this clothes, because they don't come with any of that. They really come with a blanket, and that's it. Here's the baby.
Then you get another call. And how long from getting the baby home to that next call?
Yeah, that was about, I would say, 2 weeks.
That's all?
Yeah, two weeks.
And my gosh.
And they call and they say, hey, so turns out that this baby has a brother and they found him and now he needs a place to go. And so can you take him for a little bit? It's going to be temporary, but he's an older brother. Can you take him?
So did you and your wife have a long conversation weighing it out, or was it an automatic yes? Or was it an automatic no that got convinced to yes?
It was an automatic no. Well, okay, I guess we're going to have to, you know, give the baby back. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? Because in my mind, I had only really told her we can take one kid. Like one kid.
And for how long in your mind?
9 months. That's really kind of the standard time that a foster kid would stay in a home.
Sure.
So I was thinking 9 months, one kid. So when they said two, I'm like, no, that's not us. Like we cannot go from a family of two kids to four kids and now six of us in one house. Like, it's not possible. But then my kids overheard us. They're like, Dad, no, we have to. We have to take his brother. We have to. And after like a day of just arguing and trying to figure it out, I said, all right, it's temporary. Let's give it a shot.
So the other kid comes home.
He comes. And that was rough because he's older. He's older, and he literally was just pulled out of his home, his environment, and brought into our home, and he doesn't know where he's at. He doesn't know that his brother's there. He doesn't even know that he has a brother.
That's true, because it was a baby.
He was a baby, so it's just mass confusion. Don't know what's going on. So that was tougher, but again, he didn't come with anything. I'm like, bud, you need a toothbrush. Gosh, you need everything, underwear. You need clothes.
It's what's weird is, it's the same thing we tell Lunchbox all the time. But you need a toothbrush. You need underwear. You can't just fart wherever you want. So smash cut to today or yesterday.
Yeah.
His birthday. How old now?
He's 4 years old. So that was 4 years ago.
That's crazy. It's 4 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
It seems like yesterday and also 100 years ago at the same time.
Yeah. And you know, when you get a baby, you don't know what you're going to get. He's not our DNA. He's not our... Like, you know, he doesn't act like us. He's his own person that we really didn't know what he's going to be like. Bones, he is the most amazing human being in the whole wide world. He is the mayor of our neighborhood. He's so social. My wife said when he took him to school, the other morning on his birthday. He had the windows rolled down, yelling at all the neighbors, "It's my birthday! It's my birthday!" You know, it's just like, and that's his personality. He's a big bulldozer. He's very physical. He breaks things without, he breaks it and then immediately apologizes.
Well, he runs into stuff. When him and Stanley, my bulldog, meet in the middle, one of them ends up crying because they hit each other hard.
Yeah.
And it's like a linebacker tackling a running back. And at the end of them, one of them's going to go like, "Oh, that hurt." So, but they're no longer your foster kids.
No, because we officially adopted them a little over a year ago. So they are our kids. They're our boys.
And two boys that you were hesitant, not because of who they were, it was pre even the idea of it. You're like, "I don't know if this is for us." Now, how do you feel about it?
I love it. I mean, I can't picture my life any other way. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I see that they have a chance at life now. I see that they literally just love their life. They're happy every day. They're good at things. You know, one of them's really good at sports. He never knew what sports was before he came to our house. So that's just amazing. They're in good schools. They're just taken care of and they're loved mostly. And I love loving them. So it's great.
That's awesome. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
The little guy is 4 years old.
When he comes to our house, we got to like keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Lamps. It's like Bam Bam.
He grabbed your bag and Bobby's like, whoa.
No, I got stuff in the break. But he is awesome.
He's amazing.
He's awesome. And Eddie's only 16 years away from being rich. Because I imagine he'll take care of you when he plays in the league.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to play something.
He's
awesome. Know what he's going to play.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dogs' water bowls, treats, and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food. Everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's Place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
We had a funeral yesterday afternoon in Oklahoma, and somebody really close to my wife passed away. And so, you know, she said it last night as we were flying back. She was like, and it's been rough for her. It's been a rough year for her, but she was like, man, I'm so glad. There's only a few times in your life you have to be this sad because of people really close to you, you know, passing away. And it is, on a couple different levels, really weird and foreign to me because I'm 42 now. And I spent, I mean, most of my life, I didn't meet Caitlin until I was like 38 or 39. It was such a, I was the center of my universe because all I cared about was trying to get ahead in my career because I never wanted to go back to how I grew up. And I think I was always running from not having to be living in poverty again instead of running towards something. And I have all these goals. But with her, you know, she has such a strong family and that is such a priority where it's not that family is a priority. I just didn't have a lot around ever. And so it's like a whole different planet when I go back, but it's like, And I'm learning it, and it's really amazing to see a family that supports each other all the time. And it's a very, very close, tight-knit. They're always there. If anything happens, good or bad, it's like they're all, there's a magnet that sucks them all right back to Oklahoma. If they're not there, they're back there. And if they're a town away, they're there. And, you know, it's like I'm learning more now emotionally than I ever have when I was, you know, 18 through 35, because I think I learned a lot in other ways. I think I'm 100 years old in some ways. It's some of the crap I've been through, but some of the crap I haven't been through. And, you know, to also watch her be extremely sad, it's, again, foreign to me to be really sad because somebody else is sad, if that makes sense. Where I would get sad, my mom died, just crippling. My grandma died, who adopted me and was like my mom, probably more than my mom was. Again, crippling. But I was just sad for me. But to be sad for somebody, like, and watch her be really just distraught because she loves somebody so much, that's a new thing for me. I don't think I've ever cried for anybody that was crying until, like, yesterday. I mean, at this funeral, and I'm just trying to be there for her and support her. And I'm like, what's happening to me? It was weird. I was like, what's in my eye? But it really was me being sad for another person. And I think most people learn this emotional education at like 22, 23, 24, 25 years old. And I'm just now learning it now. And at times it's difficult. It's eye-opening. You know, I never really had a Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, what some people would consider traditional Christmas type until the last couple of years. And at her house, they have traditions. They, you know, they watch Elf, they build. And I'm like, what planet, what reality show is this? And so to go back at a really difficult time for her, you know, I just have never, it's all that's new. And I come back and I feel like, dang, I've grown a little bit because I've never felt those things before. So it's weird. You know, this morning I wake up and she obviously had a rough night last night. And it's like, I'm also grateful that
she gets to be that sad about somebody and maybe a little bit jealous too, because if somebody dies and you are extremely distraught, sad, upset because you love them and they meant so much to you, man, how lucky is it that you had somebody that you loved and that meant so much to you? And you don't want anybody to die ever, obviously. But there's only a few people in your whole life that really just kind of camp out in your gut and your heart and live there. And there's real value in that sadness. And that, how lucky are you that you get to be so sad, not because of the sadness, but because of everything that created that sadness, all the great memories and all the love that came from, because that's why you're sad. So yes, it sucks. I know it sucks to have somebody super close to you pass away. It is the worst, but it gives me a bit new perspective being sad for someone else that's sad, because I can also take a half step back and be a little jealous, because, and I don't think it maybe makes sense to her yet, but she is very, very fortunate she got to be sad because she loved someone that much. And that's a hard thing to process right when it happens. Like, I look back at my grandmother, who, when my mom left for years and would come back and would leave and come back, and I think my mom loved me, but when you get pregnant at 15 and you're an addict, I think it's definitely, you're starting from a disadvantage in life. But my grandmother was consistent and constant. Not always the same thing, but she was that for me, the only version of that I had. And I struggled with it for a long time after she died. And I think I've said, like, one of my biggest regrets is when I was in college and after that, not going back and spending more time with her, because she had a stroke. And then there was a time after her stroke where she didn't remember a whole bunch, and then she passed away, and it was really terrible. And I'm just upset and sad and angry for years and on, feel sorry for myself. But then the farther you get away from it, even now, there are times where I just go, man, how lucky was I? And sometimes I'm like, you know, it's pretty unlucky how I grew up. But no, I was so lucky that I had her, and it took me a while to realize that. It took me a while that I realized, man, I was so sad because I knew what I lost, because I was so lucky to have what I had. And so spending that time with her yesterday was a new emotion for me. And the longer that I stay married, which I've been married a year in July, August, September, October, year and a half, basically, I keep learning all these things that I think a normal person with normal emotional intelligence learned a long time ago. But I just come back going, wow, like, you guys are messed up, all you normal folks. it was a tough day yesterday for sure. And it's a tough day for a lot of people today. It'll be a tough day for a lot of people tomorrow. But what I just want to say to everybody who is going through this, because we'll either go through it or somebody will go through it for us. That is inevitable. We will go through it with somebody that we love, or they will go through it for us. That when you are so sad and so hurt and so just epically down because of somebody you love leaving you, if you can just take a second, hopefully, because you'll take a lot of seconds later and understand that it's a luxury to get to be sad, because that means that they made you so happy for so long. And it was pretty cool. It was really cool to watch her have a genuine sadness based of pure love, and that's what I saw. And really never seen that, because I never cared to see it, because I never cared about anybody like that before. Never been in a real relationship. I was in relationships, but none of them really counted because I didn't invest any of me until her. So that's where we were yesterday afternoon, and it was tough. But it's tough for everybody. But I just hope when you get really sad about somebody dying, whomever it is, it doesn't get any better thinking this. But as a small consolation, I hope just for brief seconds, you go, I'm so lucky to be this sad because I'm sad for a reason, because of all the love that was shared between whomever it is. That's all. That's what I came away thinking. And I just feel bad for my wife in a lot of ways. Not even for this. She's had a rough last 12 months. She's been very sick for a year. And I've watched her just battle it out and try to keep a positive outlook. And she's just been, she's so much stronger than I am. And I bench press against any of you fools in here. But she's been sick for a year now, solid. Had security and stalker issues. And she's like, why me? And I'm like, yeah, why you? It took me a long time to get a stalker. How could you get one so quick? And then you kind of find out who it is, and you're like, holy crap. And then the internet, where she just doesn't. And it's a little bit my fault because she's so funny. I was like, you should do stuff with me online. And it got really ugly for her for no reason. And so now she's just like, why? I mean, she posts on Instagram occasionally, which is unfair that she can't just live and post on Instagram like a normal person. But it's been a rough year for her, and I really feel bad for her. And it was a rough day yesterday for her. But I really came away from that admiring the really strong family dynamic that she has, that people have, that I hope I have one day, you know, with a larger family. And that I just hope if there's anything I could pass to you guys from this, because we're all going to go through it more than once, it's that I hope you just understand how lucky you are to be very sad. I felt lucky to be very sad for her. Not the same. But I felt lucky to be very sad for her. So that's all. I just feel like if I didn't say that, I'd go home being like, dang, I really should have got that off my chest. I know that ain't the greatest of radio, but that's all.
It's a special perspective that I think is encouraging to hear. Like, I mean, people can take that with them and remember and have gratitude for all the memories and the love, just like you're saying. And it's cool, too, that you're acknowledging that at any time in our lives, we also can experience growth. And just because we've been one way for so long doesn't mean that we can't evolve and change and, like you said, become more emotionally available, emotionally intelligent. And
I turned 10 yesterday.
That's cool. Yeah. No, I mean, it's 13. A story. It's a story of hope. Like,
I am a story of hope.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll get off that. And I have some other stuff to talk about in a second. But that's what I wanted to say. I'm not trying to bring the show down. I waited till late in the show to bring this up, talk about it. But that's what's up. Wanted to get it off my chest. And I can switch it up real quick and say this, that if you go over to our website, we're not charging you for this, but we love to give people free stuff for listening to the show. And so go to bobbybones.com because Eddie and I and our group, The Raging Idiots, we do this massive fundraising concert for St. Jude every single year. And so Hyundai wants to send you and a guest to this show February 21st. And it's us, The Raging Idiots, but Parker McCollum, Dina Carter, Tracy Lawrence, Michelle Branch, Randy Houser. I could go on, but they're all going to show up and play with us. Again and out, and it'll be round trip airfare for two, hotel for two, two tickets to the show. Just go to bobbybones.com. Sweepstakes sponsored by Hyundai. It's your journey. Last day to enter Sunday. So we want to give that to you. It's not going to cost you anything. And we don't save your email. We don't spam people, do we? This is what I find out.
we
don't spam people, do we, guys? We don't send them. Okay.
No, we don't. No.
Just making sure. Yeah. I mean, if we do, I get it. But this is not that.
Not that.
No. Okay. All right, prepare to roll your eyes. A woman is suing a concert venue after she got so drunk she basically blew up a house. She was 26 years old, driving home from the concert when she crashed into a house that caused an explosion. The explosion destroyed four houses and injured seven people. Falling embers caused fires at several houses nearby as well. The entire neighborhood had to be evacuated. Gas and water service were shut off in the area. $10 to $15 million in damages. Now she and her father have filed a lawsuit against the company that owns the concert venue and serves the booze. The suit claims the company shares liability for the explosion because it kicked him out of the venue without trying to prevent her from driving home. It also alleges the venue served her while knowing she was intoxicated. That's from Local 12. It's when you don't want to take personal responsibility that starts to be really upsetting to me. And also, if you're going, well, they didn't know she was drunk. Well, there are 20,000 people there, and you don't pay a bartender enough to have to watch and see if people are drunk or not.
Yeah.
That's when you depend on personal responsibility.
Yeah, they serve a lot of people at these concert venues.
And they're making $12 an hour or less because of the tips, depending. And if that position was a salary job and they were trained specifically to do that and paid more to watch, and then I would understand. But they're not even told they have to watch every single person. It's like, hey, if you see somebody that is unsafe, let us know. But it's, what do? They can either get in trouble for not working fast enough because they're watching everybody like, ooh, let me see. Or this. But this is a count. This is personal responsibility.
Or the friend goes and buys the drink. You stay in your seat because you're drunk. They go get the drink. I mean, there's no way they can control that.
No way.
There's no way. It's no way they win. And if it matters, it's a Marilyn Manson concert. And it doesn't matter. But were told, because I never was a Marilyn Manson kid, but we were told when we were kids that Marilyn Manson was going to, at one of his shows, lock the doors with, like, put the wood plank in the door lock so you couldn't open it. You know, those double doors.
I remember that.
And then he was going to burn it down with everybody inside.
He never did.
Right.
Not yet. I'm waiting.
We were also told that he was the kid from Wonder Years, Paul.
Yeah, the brother.
Uh-huh.
No, the friend, best friend.
Paul.
Yeah, with the glasses.
Yes, but that's not true either.
She's not, yes. A new study's found that Viagra lowers the risk of heart disease in men by up to 39%.
Oh, wow.
And it even helps reduce the risk of an early death. So we had come up with a segment, the placebo challenge.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But didn't our lawyers say that wasn't the best idea? Like, weren't we softly recommended not to do it?
I didn't know this follow-up.
I love lawyers.
Was this not followed up on the air?
We talked about it on air.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, it was like, maybe they shouldn't do it.
It was a soft.
Yeah, it wasn't a no, but it was a maybe not.
Yeah,
okay.
We shouldn't.
The bid idea was the guys sign up for the placebo challenge. They get paid some money, and three of them they have to close their eyes. Three of them get like a sugar pill, and one of them gets Viagra, but all of them think they might have Viagra.
Legit.
And so then we just see what happens. And if you didn't get it, do you still get it?
You find out.
And if you did, so
I need to Google how long it takes Viagra to kick in.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, if it stays kicked for 4 hours, call your doctor.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, I forgot that update.
We were softly recommended not to do that bit. Mm-hmm. But now that it's about men's health.
Heart health,
and lowering heart disease in men, this might actually be a public service more than a bit. Netflix revealed its paid sharing option for multiple profiles in the same account. They're introducing a paid sharing option for multiple users as they crack down on password sharing this early to mid part of the year. The plans to alter how people use, and if you've been watching on someone else's account, you'll have to create your own login and pay for your own access, which is a fraction of it, but it's called paid sharing because multiple users break down that subscription price. Basically, you share it all. You share the account, but also if Eddie and I were to share one, we each pay half.
Oh, yeah.
The new option comes if people wish to share or people who live elsewhere. So what happens is if you check in from elsewhere too many times, they end up shutting the whole account down.
Yeah, you're limited on that.
Yeah.
So because I have YouTube TV and they go, we were in Oklahoma yesterday and I was wanting to check some scores on some stuff. And I was like, okay. And they says, are you, did you move to where you are now? Or are you temporarily visiting? And I went temporarily visiting. And so if I keep temporarily visiting and I'm not temporary, then that has to be my home. And then if I move it, you only get certain amount of moves before they shut it down. So Lunchbox, I know you have claimed that you steal all your streaming services.
No, I don't steal all of them. I trade. I trade out. And yes, Netflix is the one I do not pay for. I am on
steal.
Someone else.
You said that wrong.
No.
Steal.
What do you trade?
I trade HBO Max. Someone gets my login.
And you pay for that?
Yeah.
Then why don't you guys just share? It sounds like you're doing the same thing, so why not just share?
That would take effort. You'd have to enter in all the stuff.
No. I mean, I'm still on Netflix, yo. Like, I'm still using it. No problem.
You think you're a gangster because you're using somebody else's Netflix?
I mean,
just letting you know.
It's only a matter of time before they come after you.
Or it gets assigned to his city, and the whole account, it's just his, and he has to pay for all of it, and they lose theirs.
It's not on my credit cards. I want to pay anything. Mm. I'm just telling you, I am still using it. No problem. Thank you, Netflix.
They're going to crack down on that crap. Will you pay a fraction of the price?
No.
Instead of having to pay for it all, or we just not have Netflix?
I just want to have Netflix. Then, I mean, unless the person that wants to use my HBO Max, if they still want to pay for the whole thing, they can, and let me give me a login. Uh-huh. Or you see what I'm saying? Like, it's a tit for tat. Uh-huh. Like, I give you HBO Max, you give me that.
No, we
like,
understand what it is.
Like, yeah. My cousin
gives anything me else you're taking, or just that one?
Disney.
What?
Where's the tap for that tip?
Disney?
I give my, once again, my HBO Max goes to my cousin.
Oh, so you give multiple people HBO Max.
Yeah.
So you're giving away one thing, but you're getting all these other ones.
Yeah.
How many logins, I mean, how many people, different people can log into HBO Max?
I have no idea. At least three.
But you'll find out. Yeah.
And actually four, because my sister uses it too.
Oh my.
And what do you get from her?
What do I get from her? Is it Paramount Plus? I think it's Paramount Plus.
You guys just on a text thread where you're like, here's my password?
Yeah. Okay. Like, oh, I got logged out. Can you give me that? Like, YouTube TV? I brought my brother's.
What does he get from you?
HBO Max.
HBO Max. Right. I want to talk to Audrey in St. Louis real quick. Hey, Audrey. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Doing pretty good. What can I do for you?
Hey, so I was just calling because I was listening to you just kind of talk about your experience with just kind of supporting Caitlin through this difficult time, and I actually am kind of going through something similar. My husband lost his mom. She was a teacher at a high school in St. Louis, and she was tragically killed in a school shooting back at the end of October. And I kind of grew up similar to you, just kind of having a kind of a strained family situation. And his family is super close, and they're so tight-knit, and they love each other so much. And after that happened, it was obviously tragic, but just feeling the amount of, I guess, like, pain for my husband, seeing him grieve, was something I've never experienced. And so everything that you explained, I just truly haven't heard anyone explain it like you before, and I really could relate. So I just really appreciate you putting that out there. So others who have been in that situation can kind of put words to that.
Well, Audrey, I appreciate that call. Thank you. Sometimes I feel like I'm just on here rambling and figuring it out as I go, but sorry to hear that about the situation there. Jeez, yes. Tragic. I'm very sorry. And I appreciate the call, and thank you, for listening. Man, that's tough.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Audrey. All right, let's do some good news here. Because okay. Lunchbox just got bad news. The Netflix is going to crack down on him.
Mm-hmm. They're coming after
me. His whole family just got bad news that their HBO Max is about to explode because there are 32 people inside of it.
I'm worried.
All right, here we go.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Seattle, Washington. A woman walked into a store, stole a bunch of items, ran out to her car. Instead of just driving away, she tries to go Austin Powers and make a U-turn. Hits two cars, three cars, hits a cop car before she's arrested.
You know, that's a funny reference because I was talking to my wife about this, who is basically, almost 12 years younger than I am?
Yeah, yeah.
And Eddie was in the car. We're talking about making an Austin Powers. I was in my car. And she was like, I don't understand that. Because Morgan hasn't seen Austin Powers either. Well, she had it until we made her. And I was like, you know, when he's on the Zamboni type thing and he's trying to turn around in the hallway? She's like, I don't know what that is.
We had to YouTube it.
We YouTubed it and made her watch it. And I hate when people do that to me. Because like, this is hilarious. And then like 7 seconds in, it's not hilarious. But she watched it. She goes, oh. So for those maybe that don't know, there's a scene in Austin Powers where he's trying to turn around, but the hallway is very tight. And he has like a big, it's not really a Zamboni, but it's got a big flattened wheels, right?
It's like a golf cart / Zamboni, something like that.
Yeah. And so he can't turn it around because they're just, he's like, go up 6 inches, back 6 inches, up 6 inches,
hilarious.
Back 6 inches. It's very funny. Yes.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
We talked about accidental 911 calls on this show because there was a guy that was playing video games and he butt-dialed 911, and the video game he was playing was a shoot 'em game, and he's like, I just killed two people. And 911 hears him.
Oh,
they SWAT his house because, and not as what they call when you're SWATting, you call a SWAT team to someone's house as a prank, but they literally heard him go, I just killed two people, and there are gunshots. So they go to his house. Guy, come out with your hands up. And he's like, what? And he has to go out with his hands up.
He's only 17 years old. Gosh.
Like,
man.
Oh, man.
So we talked about it, and some listeners wrote some stories on our Facebook page. Chris wrote, a dozen officers showed up to my shop because we were cooking catfish and beans on the wood stove,
And the neighbors called the cops and said they could smell meth cooking.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was catfish and beans. And so the cops showed up and they're like, hey, we know you got... It wasn't meth. It may have been worse for you, but it wasn't meth.
Cholesterol.
Ashley says, cops showed up to my house saying they got a call that my house was on fire. My 10-year-old son admitted he called 911 to tell them, and he did tell them that because of a dare from his friend.
Oh. Wow.
Oh.
Kim wrote, I came back from walking my dogs, and cops swarmed the house with guns. The cops said someone told them there were people running around with guns. Basically, she got swatted. That was one of those pranks where someone said there are people with guns because they're somewhere nearby and they want to see it happen. And then here's one from Tina. My 2-year-old was messing around with the phone, dialed 911. They heard me and my husband fighting. I said I was going to punch him.
Oh, no.
They showed up thinking that somebody had called and just left it on so they could hear it because there was a domestic violence situation happening.
Oh.
Like kind of was, though. She said, I'm going to punch you.
Well, I know, but it could have been
sounds
kidding.
Sounds like she's kind of joking. Like, yeah. I'm going to punch you.
Like, oh, I'm so mad I could punch you.
So, yeah. And Amy sounds like some sort of Italian chef when she did that. Oh, hey, I could punch you.
Puncheroni.
There was that time that I set my alarm off at my house, and I didn't want to be late to work because you know what happens if you're late to work.
Yeah, you get sent home.
You get sent home. Yeah. So I just left.
Let it go?
And police arrived.
She just left.
She just left. That's a call, though, you can make and go, my alarm won't stop going off.
I panicked.
Because there are times where people go, hey, kid's sick. And I'm like, cool. Yeah. All good. Thank you for letting me know. That's completely legitimate. If your house alarm is going off.
Uh-huh.
That's legitimate.
Yeah. Hey, but remember, Lunchbox and I almost thought about ditching his car when we were late to work.
We were going to something, and I mean, there was traffic on the bridge. I said, Eddie, I'm just going to get out of the car.
Just leave the car on the bridge. We'll run there.
On foot. He showed up sweaty.
And Eddie's like, no, we can make it.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Let's go. Get your Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones, y'all.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them every day can make all the difference in the world. That's why everybody should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, well, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.